So the Apostle Paul writes this to the church in Colossae. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. The question you might have seen on the e-bulletin before, the question that I've sort of put to this section is the question, what has Jesus done for us? Last week we were thinking, why is Jesus so special? But this week, what has he done for us? Again, how might we answer that if somebody was to ask us that question? What a great question that would be if someone asked you, what has Jesus done for you? I wonder where you'd start or where you'd go. Well, that's essentially what the Apostle Paul is unpacking for the church in Colossae in these verses here. I've broken this down, so if you look at this section in your Bibles, it will look slightly different. I've started new paragraphs just to help us see something of the flow, and that's what I want to pick out first of all as we work our way through. We've got these words that sort of show us the flow of this passage. First of all, at the beginning, the word once. Paul looks back, as it were, for the Colossians to the situation that they were in before they became Christians. Once. But now, that's the sort of the contrast that he's drawing out for them. Once they were in a certain position, but now they're in a new position. But he carries on, he doesn't leave it there, because the next important word is the word if. If they do something, and that will continue to be true. Their new situation, their new position will be lasting. Once, but now, if. That's the flow. That's what we're going to follow through as we go through this section together. So what was their situation before? What was the once? Where did they find themselves before they became Christians? Well, the language Paul uses is really, really strong in verse 21. Once you were alienated from God, says Paul, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour. That is really strong language, isn't it? He's never met these people, the Apostle Paul. He's not met this church, but he describes this position as to what they were like. They were people who were alienated from God, who were enemies in their minds, and who were evil in their behaviour. Is that what we think about ourselves or about people generally? It was interesting when we went into lockdown, and again, the sort of comments or the commentaries that were coming out on our society, and lots of people picking up on just the good things people were doing to try and help others, the sacrifices people were making for the common good. And there's a big temptation for all of us to think that, you know, people are generally good, aren't they? It's only perhaps a few people who are bad, and then perhaps it's only their circumstances or their situations that make them go that way. But generally people are good, aren't they? Well, the Apostle Paul doesn't put it that way. He says quite the opposite, doesn't he, here? He describes the behaviour of people as being evil. He describes people as being enemies in their minds towards God. Not neutral, not agnostic, but enemies in their minds. Why does he say this? Well, the rest of the Bible helps us to see this, because this is actually what we're like towards God. We don't want God's rule or authority. We reject what God says to us about how we're to treat him and how we're to treat others. We resent his laws. And what we think in our minds comes out in our behaviour. And so the way that we treat God, the creator of this world, the one who gives us all good things, we reject what he says, and our behaviour towards him and our behaviour towards others is evil, it's selfish, it's sinful. And those two things, being enemies in our minds, the evil behaviour that flows from that, means that we're alienated from God. We're separated from him. We're without hope and without help in this world. Once, says Paul, once that was our condition. And yet look at verse 22, it begins with a but now something's changed. This was our position before, but now something has taken place. He has reconciled you. Reconciled was the word that we ended with last week. And if we look back at verse 20, we see that being described to us there. Well, verse 19, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. We thought about the problem of the whole of creation because of the sin of human beings, and how Romans 8 describes all of creation groaning, waiting for the Lord Jesus' return, but this reconciliation needing to be taking place, people to be put right with God. And Paul again reminds us of how this was possible. How is it that we can be reconciled to God? How is it we can go from being enemies to being called his children? Well, we're reconciled by Christ's physical body through death. It's through the cross, through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, through his physical death, that we're reconciled. That's what we believe, isn't it, as Christians? That's what we said together in the Creed this morning. Christ's physical body dying for us means that we can be reconciled with God. And Paul then unpacks what that means for us. What's the difference? What's the change? We go from being enemies, we go from being alienated from God, to being people who are presented holy in his sight. People who are without blemish. People who are free from accusation. Well, what we can't see in the English is that this is a little bit of alliteration that Paul is using here. There are three A's, three words beginning with the letter A in this section. Sermons that you sometimes hear today pick up on this way of teaching to try and help us remember things, hold on to things. And I think Paul is doing the same thing here. So this word here begins with the letter A in the Greek, to be presented holy in his sight. That's an extraordinary thing, isn't it, that God is able to do that now. As he looks at us, he sees us as holy. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, in his death for you, then when God looks at you, he sees you as holy, set apart, sacred. And Paul goes on, he sees you as holy, and he sees you as someone who is without blemish. Again, that's extraordinary. Perhaps we're well aware of the things we've done wrong, the things we've thought or said or looked at that we shouldn't have done, the ways we've reacted to things. But through Christ's physical body dying for you, by trusting in that, then when God looks at you, he sees you without blemish, all those things removed. And then the third word, beginning with A, is this one here. You are now someone who is free from accusation. Nothing can be pinned on you. One of Satan's titles through the Bible is that he is the accuser. He loves to point at the things we've done wrong, our sin, and accuse us before God, knowing that God is just, that he ought to punish sin. But through Christ, if we're reconciled through Christ, then we are now free from accusation. There's nothing that Satan can point at anymore. It's been removed. It's been taken away. What a wonderful transformation that is, isn't it? To go from people who were alienated from God, but now people who are holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. But Paul's not finished. Look at what he says next. The Bible holds up these big truths, which we often struggle to hold together. We know that we're saved by grace alone. It's God's work. That's what Paul picks out here, isn't it? In verse 22, who's done the work? Who has made it possible for us to be holy and without blemish and free from accusation? Well, it's God. He has reconciled us by Christ's physical body through death. To present us is his work. And yet there's also work for us to do, but work in the form of faith. If we continue in our faith, says Paul, we're saved by grace alone. We must hold on to that. But it's through faith alone, through our trusting in the Lord Jesus. If you continue in your faith, established and firm. Those are words taken from a building site. If you're putting up a building, it's important to make sure that that building isn't wobbly, isn't shaky, isn't going to move. And so you put down foundations. You make sure that that building is strong and will stand and will last. And that's Paul's idea here. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is perhaps one of the most important bits in the letter. This was Paul's big worry for the Colossians. He picked up that there were people around who were teaching the Colossians that, yeah, for sure, you can start off by trusting in Jesus, but if you want to be a real Christian, then you need to go further, deeper. There's something more for you. Causing people to drift from simply trusting in the Lord Jesus is death on our behalf. Putting their hope or their faith elsewhere. And so Paul is keen to make this point. Continue in your faith, established and firm, not shaken. Do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Remember, we saw that earlier in chapter 1. Paul had heard that these were real Christians. They were people who had come to have that hope of heaven. And that hope was the foundation from which their faith in Christ Jesus and their love for all the saints had come. And here is that hope again. And Paul is saying to them, keep your eyes on that hope, the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard. You heard it from Epaphras, that one who became a Christian through Paul, who travelled back home to Colossae and shared the gospel with them. They heard it from Epaphras. It's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Paul, in a way, is exaggerating here, but it's a sense in which the gospel is going out to the whole world. It had begun then, it continues now. And of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This was his big focus in life, to make sure people heard the gospel, the good news about the Lord Jesus. There is no other way to be saved. There is no other way to not be an enemy of God, to not be alienated from God, but through trusting in the Lord Jesus and his death for us. And if we do, we're transformed, we're declared holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. So keep trusting, says Paul. Keep believing in the Lord Jesus. Continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. A couple of applications or implications for us as we think about these verses. Let's rejoice in that transformation, first of all. Let's not get bored of the wonder that is there. Let's not be complacent about what God has done for us. That transformation from verse 21 to 22 is extraordinary. And it's true. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, this is you. We're going to sing together a song in a moment which helps us with this, because often Satan will point at things, highlight things, will become aware of those blemishes, or we'll hear those accusations. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, up would I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. We look at the Lord Jesus who died for us, and we know that there he paid, we are reconciled. And this hymn, I think, brilliantly helps us with that struggle, so that we can have that assurance that these three A's are true for us. Let's rejoice in that transformation. But then secondly, let's think about how can we help each other in this green section down here, in continuing in our faith, in being established and firm, and not moving from the hope held out in the gospel. How can we help ourselves with this? What will we do this week that will help us continue in our faith? What will we do this week that will help someone else continue in their faith? Who will we encourage? Who will we be in contact with? Let's think in practical terms, concrete terms, about things we can do that make sure we do continue in our faith, established and firm, not moving from the hope held out in the gospel. Well, let me close our time just with that reminder from Colossians of what's true for us if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. May that be true of us this week, and may we help each other with that this week, and to not move from the hope held out in the gospel.